We will reconvene the July 23rd, 2019 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission to order this formal hearing. The last we had were the applicants have finished speaking. At this time, we will have those in opposition that wish to speak. As I indicated before, you'll be afforded 3 minutes to speak, and it will be on timer. And again, we do have a number of people that want to speak, so when I say you've got 30 seconds time to wrap up, you may want to start doing that. When the red light comes on, your time will be up, and I will ask you very kindly to let the next person speak. Then after that, after we've completed the opposition, those in opposition speaking, the applicant will get 10 minutes to give closing. The opposition will get 10 minutes, and then the applicant will receive 5 minutes to rebut anything that goes on to come to the commission. So we're talking about 10, 10, 5. Okay? All right. Who wishes to speak in opposition? Mr. Lang, at this point.
One housekeeping matter.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to offer up hard copies of the documents that I asked to be admitted into evidence.
Yes, sir. If you could, please, that would be great. Could you give them Mr. Stagg, and we will admit those. And I thank you for your assistance in that matter.
And then if we could get Mr. Judson up here, I've got a document I need to bring up on the screen for him.
Okay. He's in opposition. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I do believe, well, I don't believe, because I don't know who is coming, who is gone, because it's being inappropriate, so I'm going to swear everybody when they come in. And in this situation, which, you're going to be the first to speak then, correct, in opposition?
Yeah,
so I'm just going, okay, that's fine.
I sweared in when you said.
No, we're going to do it again, believe me. I don't know who, I can't swear who swore, so let's do it. You solemnly swear a testimony to give me the truth, the whole truth, none but the truth, help you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
David Judson.
All right, sir, 3 minutes, please proceed.
Okay, first, I would like you to ask that you would, that the entirety of my written statement also be included, because I don't think I'm going to make it through.
Yes, sir.
All right, and please attach to the record the statement submitted to BMRC by myself, Mr. Larry Colorado, and Woody Hogg. My name's David Judson. I live and own my own home at 293 Wisbytown Road, Grimstead, having lived there for 41 years. I build boats for a living and am an experienced mariner who has been active on the water since I was a child, with 45 of those years navigating the waters of Milford Haven. I have a pier, along with an 18-foot skiff and 27-foot schooner. Boats like mine are common in the Haven. Damfino's 5.5-acre field floating cages, if it's installed, it will come within 800 feet of my shoreline and will be closer than that to my pier. This cage area occupies a third of the navigable water in that part of the Haven. The picture will show the darkened spot. The cages will interfere with navigation by forcing me to take roundabout routes instead of the direct routes that I use now. The cages will also hurt my view. Right now, without the cages, I have a pristine view of the water from my home and want to use my boats from the water. I have counted boats when looking at Milford Haven from my property. Over the three-day Labor Day weekend last year, 2018, I counted 720 boats on the water, and I have counted up to 25 at one time, just sweeping from one side, one horizon to the other. I had an appraisal prepared May 2019 that valued my home at $775,000, then hired Larry Colorado, a licensed real estate appraiser, to help me understand the extent to which installation of these cages will hurt my property value. Mr. Colorado told me in his opinion letter, and again when I spoke with him, that approximately 20% of my home value comes from the waterfront location, which at the present time, without the cages, is an unspoiled waterfront location. Simple math means that $155,000 of my home value is associated with this unspoiled waterfront. Allowing Damfino to install the cages takes from me a portion of this $155,000. According to Mr. Colorado, the cages will have a substantial negative impact on the value of my home, and I agree with that. Milford Haven is an enclosed estuary that is quiet with beautiful homes like mine along the shore. Many of the homes are historic and are listed on the National Registry of Historic Places. There are few recreational marinas. These floating cages are grossly out of place and will absolutely clash with the feel and ambience of the haven. The 5.5 acres where Damarino wants to put the cages is in water that I use with my boats. I won't be able to use these waters if the cages are there. The cages will exclude both of my boats. Boats like mine are common. There are lots of people in the boating public.
Begin to wrap up, please.
Lots of people in the boating public that will no longer be able to use these 5.5 acres of water. The Virginia Code states that access to these waters is a public right that is held in trust for the benefit of the people. Installing these cages takes the waters away from the people of Virginia and gives them to Damarino for its exclusive use, which is wrong. The last point is that these cages are a dangerous obstruction and navigation hazard that are going to hurt someone. On this point, I agree and rely on written materials that James D. Jones, Captain Tristan Judson, Captain Howard Hutchins, Preston Jenkins, Marcy Bonnemore, and my attorneys, Penner and Coward, submitted to BMRC. I ask that all these documents be included in the record of these proceedings.
Thank you, sir. You can give it to Mr. Owen or Mr. Stedman, the other. Can you come forward?
Yep.
And as a matter of housekeeping, what I should have done, the applicants have spoken. Those that are in support should have had the opportunity to speak next. So, but we'll get it right. Mr. Bug, did you wish to cross-examine this gentleman?
I do, Your Honor.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's
it's built in me. I'm sorry.
This lady can tell you it's built in me, too. Just for what it's worth, I think it's just a matter of personal privilege, just to break the law. This is Debbie Bowden. Debbie and I have spent hundreds, literally hundreds of hours in Isle of Wight Circuit Court together, one way or the other. Either I was on the witness stand or I was the chief deputy. So when I saw Debbie come in, it's like, nice to see a friendly face. So, yeah, we're used one way or the other. So proceed.
Mr. Judson, from your house, you can see this commercial activity called Sea Farms.
That's right.
And you can see Morningstar Marinas.
Yes.
And you can see this Oyster Siege Holdings, which is a commercial facility.
Yes.
And Island Seafood Company, which is what, right next door?
Yes.
Mr. Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
I would.
He needs to point it out. Yes, sir. Can you point? Yes, sir. Please. I'm sorry, Mr. Zedrin. Do we have the mouse? Mouse there?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Which I just left off. Computers are not one of my skills.
I don't like them either, but anyway.
All right, let me go back. So here is Sea Farms, which is across the creek from, across the haven from your house.
I see the buildings.
Okay. That's a commercial outfit?
It is.
And then we come down here. We got Morningstar Marina. That's obviously a marina. You can see from your house.
Yes.
And then we've got the Milford Haven Bridge. You can see from your house.
That's right.
Correct. And you've got Oyster Seed Holdings, another commercial facility that you can see from your house.
I can't see that.
But you can see Island Seafood, which is, you can see the dock here in this picture. You can't
see
the building.
I see the dock.
They're right next door.
Well, they're hidden by trees.
Well.
Okay.
Until these floating cages show up, despite all of that, you describe it as pristine, but when the cages show up, it's no longer pristine. Is that your testimony?
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Those in opposition, I'll get it right. Who's in support, wish to come forward and wish to be heard? Mr. Osterlund. Good afternoon, sir.
Could
you raise your right hand, solemnly swear a testament you give me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Mike Osterling. I'm the executive director of the Shellfish Growers of Virginia Trade Association of Clam and Oyster Farmers. As you well know, Virginia is number one in the production of cultured oysters on the East Coast. We attained that by the determination and the willingness of our farmers to adapt to new technologies and new protocols. Our success has not gone unnoticed. We have a great big target on our back from other producing states. With this competition, the producers in Virginia need to pay more attention to the market and what the market wants so we can maintain our position as a leader in the oyster culture industry. Right now, the market is asking for these premium oysters that you heard described earlier by Troy as being washed in the water, getting a good cup, getting a very nice shape to them. This is what our people are trying to accomplish. Adapting to the new technology, to adapt to the market demands is what Virginia shellfish farmers want to do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Questions?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to object to this testimony. This didn't sound like a protest to me.
No, sir. It was not a protest. What I had done is I let the gentleman, my fault, and maybe we did normally and according to the rules, the applicant and their supporters get to go first in lot, and then we hear from the opposition in lot. So what happened is I got your gentleman out of order. So that's my error.
Oh, so I understand.
Okay.
Thank you. I do have a question.
Certainly.
You'd agree, wouldn't you, that the riparian property rights of waterfront property owners need to be balanced against the rights of the oyster industry, wouldn't you?
That is in the Code of Virginia, yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Additional?
Yes, sir. Who else wishes to be heard in support? Well, this is by too far, Mr. Lang. Anyway, who's next that wishes to be heard in opposition? Don't be bashful, because I will tell you, if you don't jump up. Good afternoon, sir. You solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please,
James
sir?
James F. Brooks.
Proceed, Mr. Brooks.
Thank you
very
much.
Minutes, sir.
First, I'd like to compliment Mr. Stagg. You are a terrific representative and speaker on this project. Now, I think it's a bit biased because I'm against it, but I really do think you did such a good job. You should, if you get tired of down here, you've got a future in politics as a spin doctor. And I'm not insulting, no, nothing personal. My example is his photograph that he put up. I live in one of the condos. I can promise you, you couldn't find a more lower elevation to take a picture from for the rest of us. We're all in our condos either 7 feet or 12 or 15 feet higher, and my wife and I bought the second floor unit because we looked out the window on Milford Haven, and it just melted our hearts. We fell in love with the place. I can promise you, if there had been 700 cages out there, it wouldn't have looked the same, and we would have said, no way, we'd go somewhere else. What do they look like? You saw pictures of them. They were fairly innocuous. I've seen them in other places. And I'll tell you, each one's got two floats, and each of those floats looks like some baby coffin floating on the water out of a horror movie. They're awful. And I think that people have the right to object to their view being ruined, just like having a garbage dump put in front of y'all's houses somewhere else. The other thing, like I say, is the appraiser was wrong. I'm a realtor. I sell property all over the place from Wintergreen to down here, and 20% is much too low. And to ruin the view, whether it's over the valley or whether it's over Milford Haven, would render potentially 50%. And, Mr. Bug, no way I can prove that, but in your hearts you know it's true. And ruin of view might actually render a property unsellable. This is a serious issue that I don't think anybody's given the credit that it's due. Mr. Powell said we've got to accept change, and I think he's wrong with that. If we accept change, then that means political correctness is correct, and we've got to accept it, and we'd never be able to say the Pledge of Allegiance for fear of saying one nation under God and offending somebody, and we'd never be able to say a prayer up here. So I think some change needs to be fought, and floating cages were never, ever in the history of oyster bed leasing ever even considered. So this change is something I think is completely wrong for all of the rest of the people who are not economically involved in the business venture. As far as that's concerned, I think that much of the job creation and business that's been mentioned is an illusion, because I attended the first hearing in which was at Matthews Courthouse, and Mr. Wade himself, God rest his soul, Mr. Wade himself said he was going to employ 4 local people and 12 to 18 migrant workers. Someone mentioned illegals, but he said they would all be legal and have the proper form. But many people on the island prefer, you know, worried about background checks and so forth. So, and I was there, so I heard that.
Need to wrap up, please, sir.
Okay. In wrapping up, whether we can prove damage or not, I think in your hearts you need to admit that there is serious damage to people who have waterfront properties, and I urge you to deny the permit.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bug? I'm sorry. Mr. Zegin has a question for you.
What have you all done as far as the legislature approaching them with this subject matter and asking for legislation to prohibit aquaculture?
There, we contacted originally several, and I even went to the Association of Realtors for some help with that, and we were all told, or I was told, that that is a local issue. And then we had gone to the local people who didn't want to, at that time, muddy the waters in terms of being seen as not in favor of saving the watermen. And there are other people in the association, and I don't know who that is, who have been working directly within the political section. So I can't answer your question. There may be a lot going on. More needs to be done. That's correct.
Thank you.
Further questions? Mr. Bug?
I don't have any questions of the gentleman. I would move to strike what he related that Kevin Wade said at a local hearing. The statute says the rules of evidence should be followed when possible. That is hearsay. The gentleman is deceased. The commission should not receive it.
So noted. Next in opposition? Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Tom Robinson, beautiful downtown Moon, Virginia.
Beautiful downtown Moon.
I'm speaking as an individual historian and also as a member of the board of the Matthews Maritime Foundation. We, last year, helped start the Matthews Sailing Club, which is now an official part of Matthews County, the Matthews school system. These young sailors have regattas, and all their practice is right there where the oyster pots will be going. Now, these are young sailors, some with limited experience, but they're growing rapidly, and they've been going to regattas all along the East Coast and making Matthews very, very proud of them. They've had a lot of occasions where these boats have flipped over, and if they flipped over near the oyster pots, it could be some serious damage done, both physically and financially, to the boats. This is part of Matthews High School. They just started a junior division that will have younger sailors that they'll be teaching, and they're very, very concerned about the obstructions there that these will be bringing in. But these kids are bringing a lot of pride to Matthews County. They're out there in the middle of the winter in dry suits practicing, right there where those cages would be. This is a picture in front of my house in Billups Creek right around the corner. 2 boats there with hundreds of raised oyster cages on a mud bottom. They were there for 2 years. We didn't even know they were there. We went out and they were harvesting them. They have wonderful looking oysters. And they said they didn't want the controversy that would be caused by having cages that would disrupt people's view. This is another view on the other side of Billups Creek at Lily's Neck, an oyster farmer that has a permit to put 22,000 floating cages on Billups Creek. Many of them are already there, but you don't see them because they're the smaller plastic bags with floats in them. They float, and he's got them in 2 to 3 feet of water, unnavigable water. It's not bothering anyone, no complaints whatsoever, and that's 22,000. I have 2 letters that came in last night. I'll try and read them very quickly. You talked about not having DHR come in on this project. First letter came from Clyde Paul Smith, who's a trustee with and special projects director for NUMA, the National Underwater Marine Agency, if you ever read Clive Cussler's books. He's also the chairman of the board of the Department of Historic Resources.
Yeah, 30 seconds, sir.
Thank you for including Newman in your meeting. We are delighted to remain involved with the Battle of Cricket Hill Project. As you know, this is one of the very first land-sea battles of the Revolutionary War. The historic significance cannot be overstated. When we worked on this during the summer of 18, we got some very significant targets from our underwater surveys and are now interested in moving forward in the next phase of the operation to determine what artifacts may remain. I'm delighted to know that the Maritime Heritage Chapter of the Archaeological Society of Virginia will be working on the project. Also, our connection with the Virginia State Police will give us an opportunity to have well-qualified divers use this as a training exercise while working on the project. We're going to have to get a permit to disturb the bottom of Milford Haven. I understand this is going to take at least 6 months to obtain. With this in mind, I think the earliest we can plan to dive will be late spring or summer of 2020. We would urge the Virginia Marine Resources Commission to preserve this historically significant area while we move forward with our research and investigation.
Sir, your time's up. Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Bug?
Thank you. Are you familiar with the Christchurch School sailing program?
Yes, I am.
They train out in the open waters of the Rappahannock River, right?
That's right.
That's not protected, correct?
No, it's not.
All right. The kids that are learning to sail, I mean, kids learn to sail, you got to sail upwind, you got to sail across the wind, you got to sail down the wind, and usually the course is, what, three buoys?
I'm not on the team.
Okay, but you're familiar with,
yes, I am.
With training and how to sail, obviously.
That's exactly right, and some of these kids are not that well trained.
Right, but the point is they're trying to learn how to sail around things, right?
Trying. That's a key word, trying to learn.
Okay. And most of them learn, don't they?
They do after a while, but they have...
Is that all, Mr. Bug?
That's all.
Thank you, sir. Can we control the monitor once the exhibit is finished to remove it and have it go back to the... Does it always have to be done from there? Has to be done from there? Let me get Tony on that.
While they're working on that, could we get those exhibits attached to the record?
Yes, sir. Everything, for the record, everything that comes up there will be attached to the record. That whole screen is going to be swiped and put in the record. And Habitat's going to figure out what goes in the record, at what order, and when.
Thank you.
I assure you. We had that discussion a little while ago, Mr. Blank. Thank you. Yes, sir. You solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth, except to God. You state your name for the record, please.
James Williams.
Mr. Williams, nice to have you here, sir.
My name is James Williams. My property is 383 Risby Town Road. This property is adjacent to Island Seafood. I feel the industrial oyster farm will have a negative impact on my family and my property. I came before this board in September with many facts and concerns. Many, many others did the same. At that time, this board was given a preponderance of reasons to deny this permit and very little, if any, reason to allow it. Yet you did. You even ignored your own board member's opinion, who stated that this location, quote, has too many problems for this type of operation. Your board member, Mr. Ballard, is in the business and operates similar float farms. He certainly would be in a better position to know its impact on the surrounding area. In this case, you ignored your own in-house expert. One of VMRC's mandates is to protect the public trust. September decision, whether from political pressure or lobbying from the powerful seafood industry, does not reflect well on this mandate. In fact, instead of public trust, there are many, many Gwent Islanders who view this board with distrust. You have today a chance to take a step back and find a better solution, a solution that doesn't tear apart people's lives and pit one group against another. Our profits for one small niche industry worth this? I, for one, would like to see this board adopt more stringent zoning for these industrial operations. Self-policing will not work. This is a perfect example. Hundreds of residents on Gwen's Island are adamantly opposed to this plan. The VMRC staff has done nothing to mitigate this. The applicants themselves seem to care less. They've offered no compromise on size or location. The applicants don't live on Gwynn's Island or even in Matthews County. This doesn't affect the applicant's life or their neighbors' lives. They never even have to look at what they put in our water. Mr. Chairman, the last words I heard at the September hearing were from you. You told us you wouldn't want this at your house, but after a while, we would get used to it. I feel you are fortunate, for I'm sure there is zoning at your own house. So I suppose no one could build a 7-Eleven next to you and tell you that you'll get used to it. Speaking from my heart, I will tell this board two things. One, I will never get used to 5 acres of what I consider black garbage right off my shoreline. And two, I will certainly never get used to the trampling of my rights and the taking of these beautiful waters from the citizens of Virginia, all for the profits of one business. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Who's next? Wish to be heard. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Am I supposed to double click that?
I think that would help, yes, sir. Now, sir, could you raise your right hand? I solemnly swear the testimony you'll be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you, sir.
And my name is...
Did you take these pictures?
I did.
Thank you. Proceed, please.
My name is Joe Atherton. I live at 56 Captain Hudgens Lane in Grimstead, Virginia. This is the view of my oyster ground out my front door at sunset. It's not an altered picture. There's no filter on the camera. That's what it looks like. My oyster ground has hard bottom. It is adjacent to where these cages will be. I don't know where the mud is, I've heard, but it's not on my ground. It's not on the beach that I walk on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to speak today. You, the board that will be making the decisions that will affect my property for the rest of my life, that's what we're doing today. Thank you for my 3 minutes. I remember a public hearing on record, written transcript, when I had a concern over power washing that would occur with the cages that are picked up and placed on this pier. I was assured in the public hearing on record by Mr. Wade that there would be no power washing on the pier. I took that photograph Sunday or Monday. My wife and I will no longer swim in the water in front of our house. We don't encourage others to swim in the water in front of our house because this is what's floating in. That's between my house and Mr. Judson's house. I've had VIMS come out and test it. I haven't heard back yet. But with power washing going on next door, I have my suspicions. I remember several years ago when my oyster ground was again surveyed, my neighbor, Mr. Judson, asked me what was up with the pole that was next to his pier. I told him I didn't realize it was so close over there, and why don't we take it down because it's blocking access to your skiff. So I went over there and pulled it up. That's what neighbors do. Neighbors don't stick their fingers in each other's eyes and try to roll over. This is a photograph out my back door. Mr. and Mrs. Judson learned that their property will go down about $100,000 because of the floating cemetery that will be visible out my bedroom window. If this is passed and the inevitable appeal is denied, you folks will have been successful in taking tens of millions of dollars from Matthews County taxes, because every one of us will appeal our real estate value and assessment. And I will make sure we do that.
Wrap up, please. 3 minutes.
I have wrapped up. This is what you're going to put in front of my bedroom window. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I had a question.
Mr. Ziegler has one, sir.
Yes, sir.
We've heard a lot of testimony, not only in this case, but other cases where someone puts something on the water in front of their house. Is there any hard data that shows, anybody did any research, like we've asked today, that actually demonstrates that the property values are decreased because of these projects?
I don't know of any hard data. What I do know is the difference between the first picture and that picture. Do you think there's a difference between that picture and that picture?
Further questions?
No.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Bug?
I don't have any questions, but I would move that the statement that the gentleman attributed to Mr. Wade be stricken from the record for the same reason.
I understand. Do you understand the request?
I understand. It's a public record, though. It's not my hearsay statement.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please.
I guess what I'm wondering...
Ma'am, what did you write?
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. You solemnly swear testimony you give me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, self you got.
Yes.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Sharon DeCane.
Yes, ma'am. Please
proceed. And I have a question. The questions that you're asking, I don't understand why you don't have this answer. Have any of you done any studies on what this is going to do in this area? Or are you just assuming that by voting one way or the other, nothing's going to happen to this area? The last time you voted, I know you were conflicted, and you all gave us the impression that maybe this vote won't go in their favor. You even thought maybe we shouldn't even vote on it, but you voted, and you approved it. And now you're asking us questions of what do you think it's going to do with your real estate? Haven't you done any studies to tell us what it's going to do before you vote on it?
Ma'am, in a forum such as this, we ask for information from those that want to provide information. We also ask for information from the staff. Staff did not provide any information pertaining to real estate because we're not experts in the real estate business. We do go under 28.2.1205, which is the mandate as to what we're supposed to examine. We're looking for any additional help that might be out there that may assist in swaying our decision one way or the other. So that's what we're doing. We're not asking baiting questions. We're asking for information that may help us and make it a determination.
But so. you're making a determination that they're going to set a precedent to Milford Haven and what's going to happen in the future. Don't you think that you should look into what might happen before you make a precedent?
Ma'am, I think we do look in what might happen based on the guidelines that we have pursuant to the laws of Virginia. Real estate in there is not per se one of them as outlined, not real estate per se as far as real estate value is concerned. So we don't know what that is.
But isn't your mission to make sure that the waters of the Commonwealth are open to everyone?
I'm going to read our mission before we go and make a vote on this matter, so we'll make that loud and clear at that point.
Okay. Thanks. I was just inquiring because some of the questions were like, why don't you know this?
No, we didn't know. That was not, I don't think that, knowing Mr. Ziegler, that's not the intent of that question. The intent of the question is, we would like to know if you know that. It's not like, ha-ha, gotcha.
I was not implying that.
No.
I was implying that it seems to me that since you're the ones who are going to make the approval or disapproval, you should have some of this knowledge before you make that approval or disapproval.
But every day is a learning matter, and if somebody can give us something that we don't already know, it's to our benefit. And if we don't ask, we don't know.
Okay.
Thank
That's
you, ma'am.
Why I'm asking.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Who's next in opposition that wishes to be heard? All right. In that case, you raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you give me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, self you got.
Yes, I
thank you, ma'am. State your name for the record, please.
Kim Williams.
Ms. Williams, nice to have you here.
3 Risby Town Road. I've just
kind of have random notes. One has to do with real estate.
Okay.
I just sent to Ben Stagg two articles that I found at Cambridge.org. They take place in Maine. On my phone, it is saying that aquaculture lowering sales prices, coastal aquaculture may be viewed as a disamenity in this housing market. That's the pen of Scott Bay. He has both articles that can be submitted to the record. I'm not a realtor and has a lot of math and a lot of data. It's a hedonistic. Anyway, sent that in. I was going to start, though. I'm just responding to that with saying that in trying to understand this process, I came to the hearing on Rappahannock and Locklease Creek. And what I walked away hearing were three things. I heard discussions about transfer of wealth. I heard Mr. Miner say that the people have spoken. And there are people here where this is their special place on both sides. And this is our special place. And the third thing I heard was from you, a reading of the public trust. And it was sort of a closing argument, supporting your role. Overall, I don't like conflict. I like to help my neighbors, and for goodwill and for the future of the seafood industry that you're trying to help, for everyone, I feel like consistency would be good. And I felt like that was a precedent-setting statement, and then they were sort of disappeared with our hearing. I didn't understand that, and that sort of leads to a distrust. That doesn't help the public. The time temperature conversation, on your website, the minimum is 2 hours in the hottest months. The rest of the year, it's like more, 4 hours. And we operate a business with refrigerated trucks, and they do too. And you put it on the refrigerated truck, so an hour to the processing plant is an hour under your minimum time. France has been mentioned. I'm familiar with France. They require environmental studies because they don't want the septic system to be bad for the oysters. So they require that. And leading to economic benefits to Matthews, I have an email from Mindy Connor, the administrator, saying none was done, none was required. So I can't see how we can talk about how it benefits Matthews with no economic study. In fact, if most of the sales are wholesale, Matthews only gets a business license based on their retail, and it will be the minimum $50. So, and I talked about the real estate. I guess that's all I have. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Good day, sir.
Thank you.
You solemnly swear the testimony will give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got.
I do.
Thank you, sir. State your name for the record.
Charles Harvey.
Glad to have you, Mr. Harvey.
According to a longtime official of VMRC, the authority to issue oyster float permits is found in Virginia Code 28.2-1200 and specifically Section 1203. That section is titled Unlawful Use of Subaquarius Beds Penalty. Paraphrasing, it reads, it's unlawful for any person to build, dump, trespass, or encroach upon or over, or take or use any materials from the beds of the bays, ocean, rivers, etc., without a permit from VMRC. The key phrase was trespass or encroach upon or over. These two verbs describe what a person, the subject, would do. Encroach as a verb means to intrude gradually upon the rights or property of another. It has nothing to do with the water column or floats. This section of the law is concerned with structures like dams, piers, and docks. Additionally, this law is at least 27 years old, and back then, oystermen around here were far from putting in floats. So any reasonable mind would conclude that this is not the place to find the authority. A couple of seasoned lawyers have helped with this research, and they agree that your authority is just not there. Did the original patrons of that law know it was going to be used for floating cages back then? I don't think so. The authority VMRC was seeking came in 2004. During that year, Senate Bill 605 was passed by both the House and Senate and became 28.2 Chapter 16. It covered the subject of water column leases for aquaculture. But it contained an enactment clause that stated it would not go into effect until an appropriation was approved by June 30th, 2006. Turns out it was not funded. and Chapter 16 did not go into effect. So why do we think floats can be used at the top of the water column? Remember when your mother would tell you, wait an hour after lunch before you go swimming? Don't cross your eyes, they might stick. The MMR vaccine causes autism. If someone says something long enough, it almost becomes truth until it's challenged. Well, we are the challenge. I feel like someone or some group back in 2005 and 6 decided the lawmakers were behind the use of the water column, but funding didn't happen, so let's just go with it. It's not statutory law, so its application should, this application should stop right now. So what lies ahead? Your influence in creating laws would bring another bill before the House and Senate. This would give committees the opportunity to take a hard look at what has changed over the past 15 years and make sure of some adjustments. Population density, active recreation activities, and common sense would hopefully be priorities during these negotiations.
Sir, your time is up. Thank you.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions, the gentleman? Yeah. Thank you. This gentleman, ahead, come forward. Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, it's Vaughn.
As long as the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Ken Torbett. I live on Risby Town Road, directly next door to Island Seafood, about 90 yards from there. 85 other oyster leases owned by either Mrs. Wade or Jane W. Seafood. 2,600 acres, as they advertise, the largest oyster lease holder in the state of Virginia. 85 other places that wouldn't impact navigation, whether you question it or not, is certainly an issue. It wouldn't impact safety. Mr. Stagg, I worried if one of those paddle boarders tried to paddle through that 21-foot space and fell into those cables, what might happen to them? And they will try. The same with the skater holders. 85 leases that won't impact safety. 85 leases that won't be put on top of a historic site where they're still looking for artifacts for the Battle of Crooked Hill. Whether they find them or not, I don't know. 85 other places where the pod of dolphins that I filmed, or my daughter filmed and sent to you, Mr. Stagg, in a protest letter day before yesterday, will be displaced by these floats. Dr. Lupenbeck said as much in a prior conversation. 85 places that won't impact these, that I won't see them again because they swim right through this area. And the impact on my grandchildren who were swimming off the dock day before yesterday. 30 yards from the Jane W. Seafood dock. If you cast a lure too far, it'll land on the dock. I worry about their safety. And I worry about the purity of the water with them swimming. I don't let them swim there anymore. Clearly, if this goes through, it will make it very convenient for this project. Very convenient. It will change our lives, but it'll make it very convenient for them. 85 acres, 2,600 acres, 85 spots they can put this. It's very easy. They're not going out of business if they don't destroy Milford Haven. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Torbett. Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Ma'am, I've got you next, okay? Yes, sir. That's okay, sir. just happened to be in front. So anyway, you solemnly swear the testimony to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, please.
Norman Moss. I live on Gwen's Island on Edwards Landing Road. You ask a question about the legislature. Yes, we made a valiant effort to approach the secret work group that had been set up to study this. We were told, oh, those are secret meetings. Who's on it? Took forever to find out. FOIA requests were ignored. And, oh, those are not public. You can't go to those. So that was that. And then we tried to speak to the Senate committee and ran into some of the same kind of things. I'm now questioning, after the experience we've had, as to what kind of hearing we're getting today before you. And I hope it's objective and open. What did we run into? We were ignored, we were silenced, and we were excluded. And everywhere we've been, oh, that's not our jurisdiction, it's this jurisdiction. Pass the buck, where does it stop? And, you know, and I question, would this be happening if this wasn't Milford Haven, if it was Carter's Creek, for instance, in front of the Tides Inn? Don't think it would be happening. So I'm very concerned about that. I think there's a fundamental...
The hearing would be happening. Yes, sir.
The hearing would be happening. The results might be quite different.
That's
what you predict. Maybe. That's my opinion.
Yes, sir.
There's a fundamental flaw here that I don't think anyone is recognizing. You all have hit around it. Everybody's hit around it. But there's a basic flaw is there is land use zoning. There is no water use planning with what's appropriate. If it is, I don't know it. And I think that is critical, and it's up to you and what you can do. But with no planning, the seafood industrial complex, you know, will dominate. Property owners and so forth will be down on that totem pole. There's been no economic impact, no environmental impact. And I think that this should not be decided on until some of that is in place. This makes no sense whatsoever. And so if this planning was in place that I'm alluding needs to happen, then clearly that would demonstrate that this site is not appropriate for this project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. I've got the lady in the back, and then I've got you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She's been back there very, very patient. Then I've got you, ma'am. Would you raise your right hand, please? You saw this real testimony. Should give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Frances Gwen Miles Atherton. And I would like to share a letter with you that was written by John Broadwater, who is a maritime archaeologist and the president of Spirit Sail Enterprises. And this was a letter written to Mr. Stagg. This proposed floating oyster cage project area overlaps the state bottomlands where the Battle of Cricket Hill took place in 1776. Our research indicates that the area should contain archaeological evidence from this historic battle, which may well be the first land-sea battle of the American Revolution. More importantly, the conflict resulted in the hasty departure of Virginia's governor, Lord Dunmore, thus marking the end of British rule in Virginia. In May 2018, a dedicated group of volunteers sponsored by the National Underwater and Marine Agency conducted a remote sensing survey of an underwater portion of the battlefield, resulting in the discovery of numerous buried metallic objects, which may well be the remains of British ships sunk during the battle. Because these objects are buried, they could not be examined during the survey. A permit will be required to excavate down to the objects. Unfortunately, time and funding did not allow us to complete our survey of the entire area. Therefore, we do not have data for the area under discussion at this hearing. However, based on the evidence to date, we believe this is likely to contain evidence of this historically significant battle. Therefore, we request that a final decision on this application be delayed for at least 9 months in order for us to obtain a permit and to complete the planned survey of the battlefield site. Thank you for your consideration of this request.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions of the legislature? No questions? Thank you. Ma'am? Not you. Thanks. Yes, sir. Just a question. Mr. Stagg?
It appears that people are passing letters or whatever to Mr. Stagg, I guess, for the record. I would suggest that it be done here at the podium so you can mark it on the record as opposed to them passing him letters. Just as this last lady had come here, I think she gave Mr. Stagg a letter here that we did not identify as being part of the record.
I think they're in order, but I will, if you'll bring that back, I'll be glad to mark it. Yes, ma'am. While we're doing that, okay. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you give to be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, except to God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Marcy Venemer.
Proceed, ma'am.
All right. We are here before you again because we believe the decision in the first hearing was wrong and unjust. It was for this reason that an appeal was made. There was something definitely wrong with over 100 letters of protest and standing room only at that hearing. One could only imagine what was going on here when the decision to approve the Oyster Project was made. But it didn't take long to figure it out. Kevin Wade had been assured of his permit long before the hearing ever took place.
Ma'am, I'm going to stop you there and stop the timer. Can you please explain to me your last statement? That Kevin Wade had been promised and assured I want you to give me definitive rationale behind what that statement you just made and how you know it. And who told you that?
Well, there is proof that he was
already
celebrating. People who live next door who are here today know that there were balloons of celebration out the morning when we all left for the meeting, and also the fact that he had ordered lots of equipment and had it all ready to use. Well, this signifies something was in the works, and he felt like he was sure to get this permit approved.
Well, but do you have affirmative and definitive proof by virtue of someone telling you or someone from this agency advising that that permit was in place before this hearing occurred? Because I can assure you, if someone from this agency said that to anyone, they're subject to significant disciplinary action, because the only persons that can make that decision would be the Commissioner of the Marine Resources. So I'm just asking you again, do you have definitive proof of the statement that you just made?
Well, I don't.
Or are you assuming that?
There are people here,
ma'am,
I'm sure, who would agree.
Are you, ma'am, are you assuming that, or do you have definitive proof?
I don't have proof of the balloons. They're high in the sky.
I'm not asking about the balloons. I'm asking about the permit. Or
I don't have proof of anything, but.
Okay, then proceed. Thank you very much.
Every point that we brought up at the hearing last time was considered not important. The rights of waterfront homeowners were not important. Dolphins were not important, in spite of being a protected species. Revolutionary War history and the Battle of Cricket Hill and the artifacts which could have been under those waters were not also considered important. Nor was safe navigation through this waterway. None of these were considered important enough to deny this permit. So what was considered important by the MRC commissioners? I look at you. Apparently, it was your strong feeling of duty to spread the new aquaculture everywhere as quickly as possible, because this was the mandate of the state. Beyond this, nothing else seemed to matter. Unfortunately, this new aquaculture came to Virginia so quickly, and there was no time to think that some regulations might be in order. This is where the problem lies. The rights of the people have therefore been compromised, as well as the public trust. I'm going to mention one thing now that has not been brought up specifically, and that is tourism. I don't think anybody today has spoken about tourism. Tourism will also be impeded by the 5.5 acres of oyster cages and floats in Milford Haven. And I will give you a few examples. There's now a big push from the Matthews Museum Alliance with the assistance of the Virginia Tourism Corporation to increase tourism in this small county.
Thank you. Ma'am, your time is up. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, ma'am. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I might bring up the PowerPoint before you start the timer. I appreciate it.
Sure. Let me swear the testament you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help God.
I do.
Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Yes, I'm James Jones, and I have a PowerPoint here which is abbreviated version of what I put on the record earlier on Friday. I am here at the request of Save the Haven, LLC, to talk about risk impact.
Are you testifying as an expert here today? Because I saw a Marine expert
yes.
witness. Mr. Bug, do you have any concerns, questions? He's testifying as a witness, I mean as an expert.
I'll ask my questions after.
Thank you.
My professional opinion, apart from the aesthetic and property value issues that have been raised, is that this flotilla will introduce a significant general water safety hazard to the Haven, create substantially new and unreasonable risk to boating safety of both residents and their guests and visitors that are not even guests. Vastly increases the potential hazard to safe navigation. I'm very amazed that the Army Corps of Engineers approved this risk. I believe that you have a right to say, what in the heck would we care about your opinion? I do have expertise as a Marine expert witness, serving in many cases around the country. I'm a member of some maritime organizations that are prestigious, and I serve currently as a Marine claims advisor to 4 insurance companies. In particular, I've got 50 years experience in various positions, including vessel operation as a officer in the Merchant Marine to 25 different countries, Marine underwriting of risks for the Travelers Insurance Company. I was the risk manager of Newport News Shipbuilding for about 8 years. And my latter experiences with handling claims for boating accidents gives me a perspective on the causes and consequences of risk. Got to advance this. Visual information. You've already seen the view from the properties and what flotations may look like. You've seen locations of where the flotilla is. I will say that I did attempt to go from the website and the longitude and latitude coordinates that are shown and could not get this to appear correctly. So I will simply say I have a low confidence of the accuracy. But even if it were 50 yards back further from this white line, which represents basic channel navigation, those two red dots are the aids to navigation from the Coast Guard, I think the risk is essentially the same. Maybe a little less, but still present. Sorry, had to cut down so much. I think there's an increased danger that's obvious to vessels and people navigating these tight constraints. This choke point, as it's been called, I think that in particular, sailing vessels have restrictions on their abilities and capabilities, as you're, I'm sure, aware. People that are visiting this area, and perhaps even long-term residents, may not be absolutely familiar with Coast Guard rules of the road. And what maneuverability must be made in order to avoid collisions. And in low visibility, whether it's darkness, fog, or sun glare, it is simply accentuated. Plaintiff counsels, in my opinion, and I've got a lot of experience with this, will exploit the causation factors of any injuries that occur. If somebody gets tangled up off of a paddleboard and can't get up out of the cabling and either is partially disabled from partially drowning or dies or has a disfigurement, it's going to be open season. And they'll be looking for somebody to blame.
Sir, you need to wrap it up.
All right. I implore you to decide these risks that we've tried to briefly enumerate, and many other people have spoken eloquently about it, upon the full consideration of risks and hazards. I'm concerned also about how well sovereign immunity will extend down the line from the governor and judges and legislature. Does it really protect you? I'm asking you to consider the safety of the citizens of Virginia and do not intentionally place risk in their way. And I ask you to consider the options that have been put forth or denial, and I think that this is your opportunity to do the right thing.
Thank you, sir. Any questions,
Thank you.
Gentlemen? Mr. Bug? Mr. Bug wishes to cross-examine you, sir.
Do you understand that these cables are on the bottom that you referenced?
Yes, and there's others that are up to those.
They go vertically from the cable
right.
on the bottom mm-hmm. to the cages. If we can get this off the screen.
Sure.
How do we get back to the home screen?
Ben, please. For the record, Mr. Stagg is going back to the home screen.
Have you seen this particular rendition?
I believe so. I believe it was up today.
And the sides of...
For the record, this is aerial floating number 3.
Yes. And the distance on this side of this this triangle is roughly 600 feet?
400
feet. And so the deep water opposite this is over 3 times that wide, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, what, 9,000 feet of deep water, correct?
Right.
All right. And any fixed object is a hazard to navigation, right?
Yes.
The bridge, right?
Of course.
Crab pots?
Yes.
Docks?
Yes.
And so...
It's just not as extensive.
That somebody might not know the rules of the road is equally a hazard with all of those things, correct?
Well, may I answer?
Yes, sir. The answer...
The people coming down out of Edwards Creek and or people coming up the channel, which is they're going to generally stay to the right, they are getting close to that, and if they get into an extremist situation, their options are limited.
That's true in any confined
yes.
space of water, correct?
Yes.
You call this a choke point. 1,000 feet of deep water is not a choke point, is it?
Well,
the answer is yes or no.
In the qualified sense, yes.
Okay. You mentioned navigability for sailboats. Typically, a big sailboat in this waterway sails down motoring, aren't they?
Very often, I imagine.
Okay.
Okay. As the little sailboats that might be under sail.
Right. And less experienced.
Automatically somebody in a small sailboat is less experienced than somebody in a big sailboat? Is that your testimony?
No. We've seen the kids here learning to sail on small vessels.
And to learn to sail, you learn to sail around things, right?
When you can.
I think that's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Who's next? What's... Solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except for God. Thank you. State your name for the record.
My name is Danny Louder.
Yes, sir.
For the record, I'm a condo owner myself, been for 10 years. There are 27 condos right adjacent to the proposed site. And from a real estate perspective, I've been paying real estate taxes there for about 10 years, and I've prorated my real estate tax bill to the other 27 units. Uh-huh. And we're talking probably a total value of about $8 million in real estate property there. And so a 20% factor applied to that, that's $1.6 million in a loss that we're looking at losing as owners. You know, personally, I've been retired for 13 years, and it takes a long time to raise enough money, save enough money to have a second home. And many of us have second homes there to spend our retirement years. And to see it totally destroyed by this farm is unconscionable for me to comprehend. It really is. So I just, for the record, wanted to add to the value of the real estate there from our perspective. You have a letter on file from the condo association that we would like for this permit to be denied for those reasons.
Any questions? Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except for God.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please, ma'am?
Linda Martin. I'm also a Gwen's Island resident.
Yes, ma'am.
And as you just said, what were the last few words that you just said about the truth with God? And we prayed and we pledged allegiance and we made our prayer under one nation, under God, indivisible. That means undivided.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it seems to me that there's only one entity on one side and then the whole rest has been divided, majority. And I don't know, it's like just a simple thing. I mean, God created everything that's here, all the animals and the ocean and everything that we have. I've lived up and down the eastern seaboard from my New York accent all the way down to Florida. This is my home. And it's also the home to many animals, and like several people pointed out, dolphins and the fish. I mean, hopefully we won't wipe them all out. I'd like to think there'd be all different types of fish as well, not to mention people's injuries and the other obvious things that I don't think we should even have to be here for. But unfortunately we are. It's become down to a greed thing, which is just my opinion, I'm sure, out of everybody here. But it's about money, and it's sad because that's also clearly written in the Bible. So maybe we should all just go home tonight and ask God what we really should do and how he feels about polluting his oceans, killing his animals, and torturing the people that he created. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you for
Thank
your
you.
Time.
Yes, ma'am.
Questions? Did you want to ask any questions?
That's enough, ma'am. I'm got the hearing.
I didn't know if you wanted to discuss the floating Walmart, because that would be nice.
Ma'am, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Solemnly swear testimony, give me the truth, all truth, not but the truth, self God.
Yes.
Just make sure your arm is okay to raise that before you did it. State your name for the record, please, sir.
James Judson, 177 Risby Town Road.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
I was asked to read this. It's from Leighton Powell, the executive director of Scenic Virginia, as to Mr. Sag. It says Scenic Virginia is only the only statewide organization dedicated solely to preserving, protecting, and enhancing the scenic beauty of our Commonwealth. Milford Haven in Matthews County is one of these special places that is loved by so many and needs to remain, as it always has been, a haven for all. With that mission in mind, we encourage the Virginia Marine Resource Commission to consider the visual impacts of this proposal by the Milford Haven Oyster Farm, as well as any subsequent projects, assuming a precedent is set. We do not suggest that the visual impact be the sole consideration of VMRC's permit, and we realize it is not in your usual purview, but our organization suggests that it be one aspect that you seriously considered. Aside from visual impacts on residents and visitors, we urge VMRC to consider also the impact that this large industrial floating oyster farm would have on the bottlenose dolphin habitat that lies within this waterway. The archaeological artifacts from the Revolutionary War Battle of Crooked Hill that still remain to be found under these waters, and the navigational safety of all use these waters for recreational boating and educational youth activities. The appearance of Milford Haven is important for more than a few nearby property owners. Views are also important for economic reasons related to tourism and business development, such as restaurant and marinas. For that reason, we encourage VMRC to ensure that the least visually damaging option is adopted. Undue haste at this stage may allow damage that won't be easily undone, especially if the precedent is set by this permit. Thank you for your consideration. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Imagine a copy of that letter has been sent.
You will. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Please read from it. Well, thank you. Thank you. Who's next? Wishes to be heard in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
This is me. My name is Jean Nelson. I live on Gwynn's Island.
Solemnly swear the testimony should give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except you, God.
Yes, I do.
Thank you, ma'am. Proceed,
I waited till last because I thought maybe everybody was going to make the points that I wanted to make, and I wouldn't have to get up here to speak. But I don't know if anybody addressed the number of boats. I know that Ben said that he was there and he saw a few boats come through. I want to tell you, if I can do this, I'll try and do it quickly so that I don't go over your three-minute limit on me. But we have, here's the houses, here's where he wants to put his thing. Here's the condo, they have slips. Everybody here has slips. Over here beside the condo with a beach and his kayaks and their places for them to put it is a restaurant that has boat parking for boats to come in there. Next to that is the busiest public landing of any area in the entire county. Across from the bridge there, they get stuck all the time. It was stuck actually Sunday for 90 minutes. When you get hot, you're going to be backed up no matter how much ice you've got, is a Narrows Marina. It's got 60 to 75 boats under there now. When they reopen, that will double. Across from there is the Coast Guard who does rescue and basically takes care of our waters. Next to them is Morningside Marina. It has 300 boats under cover. 120 they put out on a busy weekend, and there's more boats in the area. So we do have a lot of boats. If you were there and you saw a 10, I don't know what it was. They're not out there all the time, but one person was challenged on this and counted 700 boats go by on Memorial Day weekend. 700 passes. That could be somebody coming back and forth. It could be 350. But to say that there are no boats there is kind of, sometimes there's not, and then sometimes there's a lot. When there are, that there can be problems. If a boat breaks down, it's going to go in. It can fall into these things. It's 5 acres, and it's hard to get around when you have everybody going through this one little channel. Sorry. I'm just kind of upset seeing some of the things that were said. Okay. So the last thing, if he's over here, directly across from him is another gentleman that has the same setup as Mr. Wade does, or former, or the Wade folks. He has a processing plant here with acreage out front, grass, just like they had. And again, if he chooses to do this because this gets approved, then he also has to move forward. He would also be against that. And by your own map, when he moves forward there, it is now not just one third gone. There's another third here, and the space in between is 525 feet is all we've got left. If this guy chooses not to do it, the entire Haven is a ring. There's 90 leases there. And if this person gets approved and is making money on it, everybody else is going to be waiting in line to say, me too. So the whole thing could possibly be filled. When I asked, been a long time ago, I said, what's to stop you all from filling the whole Haven then? He said, well, there's nothing. It's not a good idea, but there's nothing that Virginia says that can stop it. So I don't know how, if you approve one, then you're going to be able to later fairly disapprove somebody else.
Okay, could you please wrap up, ma'am?
Is that 3 minutes?
It's 3 minutes and 17 seconds, to be precise.
If I could... Okay, so the number of boats in the bay... We were discounted on, the last time that we had a hearing, we brought stuff up, we were discounted on history, dolphins, real estate, property values, navigational hazards, safety concerns, but we were approved on like a fresher oyster, because it's right there next to the thing, that you could come back in 5 years and pull the permit if it wasn't working out. But when I checked by BMRC, they said it was never done, it had never been pulled.
And that's 4 minutes. Your time, okay. So thank you.
If I could just, I don't know what we need to say to get it. If you've got all these people here saying that there's a problem with it, I don't understand what we have to do in order to get through. It seems like no matter what we say, it doesn't really matter.
Yes, ma'am, it does. Your time is up. It's been 4 minutes. I'm trying to be fair.
All right.
Thank
please
you very
give
much.
The kids, before they say anything, please give the kids the same consideration that you all give to the grasses. They worked very hard to get that area just protected, and they've got the Coast Guard there protecting them. And so now I'm sure you're going to say, well, the kids don't matter either, because they have to learn how to dodge an object.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Raise your right hand. I presume you're not counsel, correct?
Are you not in this capacity.
You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
You state your name and record, please.
Jessica Hayes.
Proceed, please, ma'am.
I'd like to read a letter submitted by Tristan Judson, who's out of the country. He wanted to testify telephonically. We weren't able to do so this is in lieu of his testimony.
Yes, ma'am. Proceed.
He said, Dear Mr. Stagg, I was raised on Gwynn's Island off of Milford Haven, neighboring island seafood, formerly Milford Haven Crab House, and have a deep love for the area and its community. Although I reside in League City, Texas, over the years, I, along with my father, David Judson, who in addition to his current property, have managed to purchase 15 acres in the surrounding area of the Crab House to ensure it continues to stay pristine and undeveloped. My father's home at 293 Risbytown Road, Grimstead, Virginia, is waterfront property with only 800 feet of open water separating it from the proposed area of the floating cages. The 15 acres I purchased together with my father immediately adjoins my father's property and island seafood. These floating cages, if installed, will negatively impact the value of the 15 acres I own together with my father. I started fishing pound nets in the summer of sixth grade with Shelton and Julian Rowe out of Callis Wharf, located on the Haven. Throughout my teenage years, I commercial fished all over the Chesapeake Bay, mainly out of the Milford Haven. The Milford Haven was and will always be my playground. I have been a licensed captain through the USCG since 1995, when I was hired to operate the yacht Miss Anne for the Tides Inn in Irvington, Virginia. In 2000, I left the area to pursue a career in the yachting industry and have worked for the same owner for almost 2 decades, currently captaining the 164-foot superyacht Boardwalk and project managing our 77-meter new build in the Netherlands. I have logged over 265,000 miles between the Galapagos Islands and the Mediterranean Sea, and I'm more than qualified to be considered an expert in navigation. There are multiple valid points raised to decline the issuance of this permit, but I would like to focus on just one, being the navigational hazard. There have been comments made by the applicant how this will not affect navigation because it will not...
Just a minute, ma'am. Mr. Bug, did you have an objection?
I do. Now she's relaying expert opinions for someone that is not here. The entire letter is hearsay, and I haven't said anything. I was prepared to cross-examine Captain Judson, but qualifying him as an expert because he says he is in a letter is simply not appropriate.
If I could respond?
Yep. I'd like to hear from him.
We attempted to arrange for...
I know that. I understand the telephonic thing. We've never taken telephonic, and probably this, honestly, I gave great latitude letting her read this letter when she started, knowing that the man was not here and could not be cross-examined. Probably should not have done that. Now we've gotten to the point of him being an expert. I'm to the point where, and the telephonic aspect of it, we've never done that. And in the code, is it much history as far as telephonic?
The man's in court in Spain.
I understand that, and I wish he was here, because I heard him the last time. I understand that.
How about we incorporate his testimony that's in the transcript from the last hearing?
No, that will not work.
Can I strike the fact that he said he was a...
Just, sir, no, I'm not... No. I think we've come to middle ground. We want to consider this as expert testimony. We'll listen to his testimony as an individual that's a property owner of Winds Island. So avoid the expert testimony aspect of it, please.
Thank you. Let's see. The USCG defines navigable waters within the U.S. by depth and not just a channel, not by just a channel. In this case, the Milford Haven Channel just happens to dictate the deepest part of the navigable channel. The proposed location of this permit is all navigable, as my father, along with a few others, counted almost 800 boats passing by his property over the course of a three-day holiday weekend last summer just during daylight hours. These recreational boaters are not professionals, and they're on the water out of pure enjoyment of it. When I brought the 127-foot pleasure vessel Miss Ann and the 164-foot motor yacht Borderwalk into the Milford Haven, because they drew 8 feet, I needed the channel in certain areas, but not where I anchored and turned around, which is where the proposed location for this permit happens to be. In my opinion, this floating oyster cage proposal, which will span the equivalent of 5.5 acres of water in a narrow part of Milford Haven, is an enormous hazard to navigation and a severe safety concern. It's not a matter of if, but when an accident occurs. That should be reason enough this permit should not be approved. I've testified on record in a previous hearing regarding the similar permit for the late Kevin Wade last summer, and would gladly testify again. In all my travels, I have never seen anything like what is being proposed here in a location such as this. I will not jeopardize the safety of my vessel or its crew and passengers should this permit be allowed, and this hazard to navigation be placed in such a heavily trafficked area. There are so many other leases J&W Seafood brags on their website about that would be far more suitable than in the Milford Haven because of the amount of recreational boaters it caters to. For the VMRC Commission to issue such permit out of nothing more than the convenience of one person is blatantly wrong on so many levels. Kevin Wade clearly stated this convenience in the previous hearing last summer. Please deny JPA 2019-0365 in order to protect the individuals who enjoy working and playing on Milford Haven's biggest asset, its waterfront. Sincerely, Captain Tristan Judson.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone here in opposition? Yes, sir.
Brian Peoples, and I am an attorney, but again, not in that capacity. So,
solemnly swear the testimony that you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got.
I do.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm here to read a letter from Mr. Preston Jenkins, who is the owner of the Narrows Marina, located in this area. He says, "Dear Mr. Stagg, I am the owner of the Narrows Marina, which my family has owned and operated since my father built it in 1964. Narrows Marina sits at the entrance of Milford Haven on the southwest tip of Gwynns Island near the base of the Milford Haven Bridge. I'm writing because it has come to my attention that the VMRC has received a permit application requesting to place a 5.5-acre floating oyster operation in the Haven, JPA 19-0365. I object to this for safety reasons. Milford Haven is a small tourist area with a very narrow navigation channel. It is a highly congested waterway with heavy boat traffic at all times of the year, especially during summers and on weekends. Traffic has become even worse since the Coast Guard removed the navigational aids from the hole in the wall, making it necessary for all transiting boats to pass through Milford Haven. For example, the Matthews Yacht Club is located on Stutz Creek, just southeast of my marina. Every yacht that comes in or out of the yacht club will have to navigate around these 700 floating cages. There are usually 3 to 4 large sailboats anchored in the middle of the haven, right in the location that the oyster operation would be. Because of the small size of the area, this is the only place in the haven that these larger boats can anchor or turn around. It's also where transiting boats must sit and wait for the Milford Haven Bridge to open. Traffic becomes even more congested when the bridge is inoperative, which happens fairly often. I'm concerned that this project will be a hazard to my customers and their boats and a detriment to my business. And for these reasons, I object to this plan and request that you deny JPA 19-0365. Also, I'd like to inform you that we've seen a large number of inexperienced boat operators in our area, navigating on the wrong side of markers and on a plain and in awake areas. Strong currents in our area have caused crab pots and other oyster floats to break loose. We have collected several. We are constantly removing them out of the channel in front of our marina. Thank you, Preston Jenkins.
Thank you, Counselor. You did a lot of police, sir. Good. Anyone else in opposition? Okay, we will proceed now to the portion. Anybody need? Do y'all want to take a break, or are you ready? Continue on. Good to go.
We would prefer 5 minutes if the commission would permit it.
So moved. Yeah. Recess for 5 minutes. Reconvene the Marine Resources Commission. At this time, we will hear from the applicants for 10 minutes. We will then hear from the opposition for 10 minutes. And then we will hear from the applicants for rebuttal for 5 minutes. And then the matter will go before the commission. And it will be 10 minutes. It will be a close 10 minutes. And when I get to 10 minutes, that means we need to stop. Okay? Just for the record, who's going to be representing, Mr. Bug, will you be representing the applicants during this or this closing matter or not?
I will. One of these other gentlemen will do the rebuttal, and I will be the original.
That'll be fine. I just want to get the rules of engagement correct before we start. I presume, Mr. Lang, you will be representing opposition?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner.
Okay. With that, Mr. Bug, proceed.
Navigation. A lot of testimony and letters and so forth about hazards to navigation. I'm going to start off with this 164-foot mega yacht. I can't imagine why someone would bring a 164-foot yacht into Milford Haven if it was any reason other than to show off. But I think all you folks know vessels, I think. Any boat of that size has bow thrusters in the bow. Thrusters in the bow and thrusters in the stern. So when one of those boats turns, it turns on center. And so we got 1,000 feet between this and the opposite and the edge of the channel on the opposite side. There's plenty of room. The authority for this is a Corps of Engineers. They have said it's not a hazard to navigation. If you look at, oh boy, where'd it go? I've lost the mouse. Work. Anyway, the aerial floating 3. It's the one that showed the rectangle
for you.
And the opposite shore.
Just continue on. Fine.
Good.
Thank you. Me and computers. There's 1,000 feet roughly between the edge of that triangle and the opposite shore, and it's the dark, not the opposite shore, but the dark, the deep water. That's a lot of water. They talk about people coming out of Edwards Creek having a problem with this. All they got to do is go around it. People who operate boats know you have to go around things. When you go through the bridge, you got to go through the bridge. You don't want to hit the pilings holding the bridge up. You got to go around crab pots. You got to go around pound nets. And so it's not unusual that people have to navigate around things. And the marine expert talking about people not knowing the rules of the road, well, that's a problem everywhere. People not knowing the rules of the road in the presence of this array is not going to change that problem. It ain't going to exacerbate that problem. It's just a problem, not just there, but everywhere you go in a boat. The historical issue. One gentleman was up here and I think read something and said, a letter that said, we've mapped the bottom, but we never got around to mapping this area. So we don't know if there's anything historical down there or not. And they want to put it off for 6 months so that they can check it out. Well, how long have they had to do that? They've had years to do that, and they haven't done it. And I submit to you this is something that was simply drafted to help the opponents in this case. The people who make the call on this historical matter in Virginia, I believe, have already said they don't regard it as having any impact on the historical Battle of Cricket Hill matter. As far as SAVs go, that was one of the objections. I think the diagram showed that the reason that this array is as far from the shore as it is to avoid the SAVs. And that was shown clearly by the by staff's work. Views. Probably that is the one issue on which you've heard the most. The testimony that this is going to have an adverse impact on property values. The 20% was offered by the real estate expert. What he said was that the fact that this property is on the water and has a water view makes it worth 20% more than the same property if it's not on the water. He didn't say that that's how much value was lost, although other people have assumed that's what he said. But that isn't what he said. There's absolutely no real evidence before this commission that the presence of this floating cage array is going to have an adverse impact on the value of anybody's property. One gentleman talked about the pristine waterway. That's the way it is on the water. You got commercial crab houses, fish houses, you got marinas. In some places, I've been before this commission some years ago when people on Windmill Point wanted you to throw a pound net out of the bay because it the inboard end was on the beach and they didn't like the smell and the look of it. Well, that's what you get when you live on the Chesapeake Bay. You look at crab houses, you look at wharfs, you look at marinas, and all the other things that go with that. And so this array is more of the same. There was some complaint about noise. I think that we have shown the commission that we have done everything we can do to minimize the noise. The dolphins. The people who have opined on that issue have said that this is not going to have an adverse impact on dolphins. There's plenty of room for dolphins to swim through the narrows and avoid this thing. My experience with dolphins, I live at the mouth of mouth of Potomac River. We have dolphins all the time. Dolphins are about better than humans at avoiding things. They're pretty smart. And so to say that somehow this is because dolphins have to go around this, it is a violation of the law, it doesn't make sense. There's absolutely no evidence that the presence of this array is going to have any adverse impact on dolphins. And then there was at length claims that, gee, we've got all these acres and all these leases, let's go somewhere else. Well, the fact of the matter, most of these are on the York River. And like all the rivers, all that fresh water that poured down the rivers and creeks this spring when it just didn't stop raining would have killed the oysters if that's where they had been. But oyster farming and where I keep my boat, they have gotten into it. And I'm always amazed by the intensity of the work that's required to do this. They're always putting out cages, removing the oysters. They get to a certain size. You got to take them out and put them in another cage, back and forth, and clean the cages. It's just constant. And the advantage of this particular location is that these people can get these oysters into the facility and processed because it's right there. And it simply doesn't work somewhere else because they don't have an oyster house. They don't have a dock. They don't have a landing where any of these others are. They're miles away. I understand that as a result of the storms, the Gulf oyster fishery has been closed, and Virginia oystering has been called upon to send oysters down to the Gulf. This is an up and coming industry. This is something that should be encouraged, and this is an ideal location. I submit to this commission that, considering all the factors, this application should be approved as it was before. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bug. Mr. Lang? Good afternoon again, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner. This project came within one vote of being denied at the September 2018 hearing. And that's because Milford Haven is a special place. It has an ambiance, a tranquility that you don't find in other places. And it's a location that doesn't have any floating oyster cages. That's probably why you've got 66 protest letters in your docket and 13 letters in support. This applicant ought to be able to find 5 acres someplace within their 2,600 acres of leases where they can stick these cages without being next to anybody's residential waterfront property. I'd like to ask all the people who are here in opposition to this project to stand, please, so you can be recognized. Remain standing for a moment and ask yourself, is it fair to force Mr. Judson and all of these people who are standing here to involuntarily have money taken from them and given to Dam Fino, especially when just about the whole community is against this project, and especially when the applicant has options to put these cages someplace else that's not next to these people's property?
Thank you. I'd like the record to reflect that approximately 75 people stood. Would that be accurate, Mr. Commissioner?
I didn't count them, sir. So
I didn't either. It's an estimate.
Yep. We'll say numerous.
The next point I'd like to make is that in our presentation today, we relied on all of the documents we relied on what is presented today, the entirety of the record, to include all of the protest documents in the VMRC docket, and as well the written evaluation that was provided by Mr. Colorito in the docket, which may not be characterized as a protest, I'm not sure. This commission is charged by 28.2-1205 to evaluate this project under certain criteria. The first step is to consider the public and the private benefits. And in the Blue-Green Properties case, 49 Virginia Circuit 260, which came out of North Cumberland County Circuit Court in 1999, the court wrote that the private benefits for the project have to outweigh any public detriment. Well, the public detriment has been laid before you plainly. In terms of lost property value, you had Mr. Colorito, who told you that 20% of this value of this waterfront property is tied up in the fact that it's on the water. Now, he didn't say that all 20% of that would be wiped out. He said that it would be a substantial negative effect on that value. Just in the case of Mr. Judson, that's $155,000 that is going to suffer a substantial negative effect. And then you heard Danny Louder, the testimony of Danny Louder from the condominium building next door, 27 condominiums with an aggregate value of $8 million. 20% of that's $1.6 million. So that $1.6 million is going to be at risk of a substantial negative effect in value if these cages are put in. And you'll recall that Mr. Louder testified that, because there's been some evidence that these cages and their floats are relatively low in the water, but he testified that he lives on the second floor of that condominium development. He's looking down. It's going to be very obvious. His testimony also was, had those floats been there when he was shown the property, he wouldn't have bought it. And I suspect the same is true for the other 27 people living in that condominium. So the public detriment here, just in terms of the risk to property value, is enormous. This is expensive waterfront property that's going to be affected. What this amounts to would be a huge transfer of wealth if you allow Damfino to install these oyster cages and floats, and it will significantly detriment the value of the nearby riparian lands, as well as negatively affecting their navigation of the waters offshore from their properties. Now, the code directs you to assess the effects on navigation, the effects on fishing, and that's in A1 of the code, where you're required to take into account the reasonable and permissible uses of the state waters. When you consider the impacts on navigation, please remember the evidence that Tom Robinson brought before you with the young sailors. And remember, those young sailors are operating in those waters between the channel and the shoreline. They're not out in the channel. There's too many big boats and too many big wakes out there. And that's the same area where these floats are proposed to be installed. Recall also the testimony of David Judson, who told you that over the one of the weekends in 2018, he counted 700 vessels passing by the water in front of his house. And that at any given time he could look, or at some point he looked outside and he saw 25 at one time. That gives you an idea of the amount of navigation taking place in Milford Haven. And consider also that Mr. Judson told you that his 14-foot skiff and his 27-foot schooner is typical of the kind of vessels that are owned in Milford Haven. And the testimony about the marinas nearby that had 300 slips, I think that was Morningstar, and the other marines, there's a lot of boating activity in there. The second thing that you have to consider, and this is in the language of the statute, is the public trust. And during when I questioned Mr. Stagg, he very forthrightly acknowledged that almost nobody will be able to use this 5.5 acres. That it's just not realistic to say that you can go into this 21.5 foot lane and a lot of vessels just can't get in there. His testimony was, well, if the water was clear and calm, some of these small, like paddle boards or a kayak, might be able to get in, but that's it. And it's not clear and calm every day. And what that really means is that this 5.5 acres of water is going to be fenced off and devoted to the exclusive use of this applicant. And for 5.5 acres, in a small water body like Milford Haven, that's just too much. You can't exclude the public from the use of these waters in this way. I would leave you with what I said at the beginning, and that is this applicant ought to be able to find 5 acres someplace within the 2,600 acres VMRC has given to them. As Ken Torbett told you when he stood before you, 85 places. And James Brooks, who lived on the second floor of the condominium, told you that this would look like a garbage dump in front of my property. You shouldn't allow this to happen. I urge you to deny the permit.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Again, I'm Leonard Powell. I spent 5 years of my life stationed here at Fort Monroe, having to deal with some of the most contentious issues that the Army faced and how to train the Army to defend this nation. I have never been in anything like this. Issues like this are very emotional. People take sides. People have a strong emotion when their property values are affected, when their way of life is affected. And we feel the emotion here. We consider these things. This project went through a great deal of scrutiny before it was launched, before the permit request was submitted. Kevin and I spent hours and hours and hours talking and looking for alternatives. We're very concerned about property values. We're very concerned about all the issues that were raised here. But somewhere, decisions have to be made about what's good for the entire body. The Virginia seafood industry is an important industry. Things have changed. They're not like they were when I grew up. So we have to move with the technology. What's before you right now is how you're going to respond to the change. Whether we're going to be a stick in the mud and hold on to the past, or whether we're going to allow things to change in progress and adopt new technologies to get things done. The experts have weighed in, the Coast Guard, the Army Corps. They say we don't have a problem. This is an emotional issue. You have a tough decision to make. I don't envy you. But I believe you will decide now, based on the merits of the case, and not the exaggerations or projections on what is, but on the merits, on facts that were presented, what we know, on evidence, data. Where is the data that says these things will happen? Where is the data that says property values will be lost? Where is the data? 700 boats? We didn't say 700 boats. They say 700 passes. That could be a jet ski going up and down can account for a whole lot of passes, and that number can go up to 700 real quick. There's nothing new that I can add that you haven't heard that you don't know. I believe now, as in September, the merits of this case support the approval of this application. You meticulously weighed all of the evidence then, and nothing has been presented today that you didn't weigh then. So, I believe your judgment will be the same. Anytime any of us are on the wrong side of the decision and we feel that the decision adversely affects us, we exaggerate. We question the police. We question the authorities. We question the Coast Guard. We question the Army Corps of Engineers. We question this commission. We even talk about your personal liability. I read that in one of the letters. That commissioners, if you prove this thing, you may be subject to personal liability later on. That says you can't do your job if you operate by those kind of notions. I believe you will do your job. I believe you're good, honest, smart, bright people who have the best interest of Virginia, the best interest of the community, the best interest of everybody in here represented. And you will make the decision that is best in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now, that being the presentation, the matters before the commission, before we start deliberation, I think it important that I read Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, which states, when determining whether to grant or deny any permit for the use of state-owned bottomlands, the Commission shall be guided in its deliberations by the provisions of Article 11, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia. In addition to other factors, the Commission shall also consider the public and private benefits of the proposed project and shall exercise its authority under this section consistent with the public trust doctrine as defined by the common law of this Commonwealth adopted pursuant to Section 1-200 in order to protect and safeguard the public right and use of enjoyment of the subaqueous lands of the Commonwealth held in trust for the benefit of the people as conferred by the public trust doctrine in the Constitution of Virginia. The Commission shall also consider the project's effect on the following: other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters and state-owned bottomlands, marine and fishery resources of the Commonwealth, tidal wetlands, except when this has or will be determined under the provisions of Chapter 13 of this title, adjacent or nearby properties, water quality, submerged aquatic vegetation. Furthermore, the Commission shall consult with other state agencies, including the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, State Water Control Board, and Virginia Department of Transportation, State Corporation Commission, and the Commission's decisions on a permit application as it relates to the effects, particular concerns, or activities of those agencies. Ladies and gentlemen, the matter is before the Commission for discussion and action. Mr. Tankard?
I think that when we've listened to the arguments at hand, and I'll take Mr. Lang's argument and arguments and talk about them just briefly. It seems as though he mentioned ambience, money, a number of people, public detriment, transfer of wealth. I have to say these do seem a bit exaggerated to me. I don't see the viewshed as being something new here that could be changed. They've got condos, they've got bridges, they've got marinas, they've got all kinds of things that seem to me industrial in nature in their viewshed already. The dolphins, I've had plenty of experience with dolphins. They're not going to have any problem with these cages. SAV, there is no problem with SAV. Artifacts can be found still in this watershed, in this bay. Navigation, I see no problem with navigation. You can go around 5.5 acres just like you can a mudflat. Industry encouraged. I think this is an industry we need to encourage, particularly in a county like Matthews. Rural America, rural Virginia has a tough go of it. People have a hard time making money. You know, it's something that's not new, but it's something we didn't hear much about. I think this type of industry is what counties like Matthews needs. So I know that there are a lot of people. They have condos there. They have 27 units. That represents a lot of people. But I would say those condos also represent a viewshed that also has been mitigated already or has issues already. I mean, the man has a hand here. It is visible. This will yet be another visible hand of man in this area. I have a hard time not voting in favor of it.
Dr. Neal first, then Mr. Zedrin.
My quick question, counsel. We have heard that we don't have jurisdiction. Do we have jurisdiction?
To approve these cages? Yes.
Okay. That was it.
Mr. Zedrin.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for testifying before us. In spite of some comments out there, we don't pre-approve anything. We decide right here. We look at all these issues very closely. What I like to see is comment by the people and involvement, just like in voting a lot of time. You get an off-season election, you get a handful, you've got, you know, thousands and thousands of voters, and you get a handful of people that show up. And so I thank all of you for coming to us today to express your views, and it makes it very difficult. I want to thank the staff. The staff, you know, they don't take sides. The application comes in, they look at the application, and I think you've heard some of the testimony about, well, did you consider the other leases and this and that and the other? That's not the way we kind of do things. The application comes before us just like a matter would come on the docket in the court. That's the matter that we look at. And I want to thank the staff for their excellent performance here, for working with the people. As you may recall, SAV was an issue in the last one. The application was adjusted. It doesn't even touch any SAV and those type of things. And I just wanted to tell you that it's going to be a very tough decision for me. But thank you.
Ms. Everett, you comment?
Yes. I appreciate the care and passion which the opponents had brought up today. I do think some of those fears are potentially exacerbated. I agree with Mr. Tankard that there have been a number of impacts already to the viewshed. I do think this area has a history of maritime heritage, commercial recreational fishing, and this sector, the aquaculture sector, does need to be supported for a number of reasons that are important for public benefit and the public trust. And I think this, along with the other heavy uses of residential development, recreational sector, does round out and support the maritime history and commercial fishery that is valuable to the Commonwealth of Virginia. I feel for those who have concerns and fears of economic impact, but I don't think those will bear out. I think that the viewshed of aquaculture cages is very subjective, and right now I think we are maybe potentially reacting with emotion and fear. So I understand your concern, but I do think many of the issues that are critical in both code and the role of the commission have been evaluated and addressed, such as navigation and that designation that's already existing outside this area, underwater grasses, and avoiding shallower areas that are more heavily used for recreational use. So I would propose a motion to pass staff recommendation along with the proposed conditions.
Motion made by Ms. Everett to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second. I have a question about those conditions.
Second by Dr. Neal.
I guess Ben would be the...
Mr. Stagg?
All right. These conditions listed, one of them, where is the right one? This permit that we're talking about here is only valid for 5 years,
yes,
correct?
That's correct.
So if we take no action, this thing expires after 5 years. They have the right to come before us and ask.
But yes, they have the right to ask permit. That it be renewed. That's correct.
Wait a minute. Make sure we understand. This will not be a new hearing in 5 years unless there – this we can have a new hearing. Correct me if I'm wrong. If there is a problem – The applicant or the opponents can come and notify us that there is a problem, okay? We can then bring the applicants back in under hearing, ask them basically for show cause as to why the permit should not be revoked, correct?
There's two permit conditions. One is exactly what you said.
That is
correct. One that Mr. Dr. Neal's talking about is just after 5 years they can ask for a renewal. I don't believe we would hold another hearing unless we had a problem.
Now, what this says is this permit is only good for 5 years, is what this permit, what it says. There is another condition here that says that we can bring this back any time before the 5 years and still revoke it. But it's, the way I'm reading this, is revoked after 5 years unless we take action to, and I won't be on here, unless we take action to.
So the commission can set the term. Aquaculture permits we've traditionally done for five-year increments. Other permits, some acres, are usually for 3 years, with the option to renew if they haven't completed the project.
So if that's a misunderstanding, this, in other words, this is not a new hearing in 5 years. It's not intended to be that way. If it's read that way, it's misworded that way, that's not the way it's intended to be. It's intended to be a situation where it's good for 5 years with a renewal after 5 years. Okay. For after examining all the factors and making sure they're in compliance.
All right, I get what you're saying.
If they don't ask, it will expire.
Right, so they have to come and ask for it to be renewed. But we can bring this before the commission before that 5 years.
That is correct.
If one person out there says, I've got a problem or whatever, and we look into it and we determine that they're in violation of those conditions, they can be brought back before the commission for a show cause hearing. Further discussion. I can only relate back to times when I have been on the water where I grew up and things that were the way they were, such as obstructions. There were mooring buoys numerous mooring buoys. Everybody had a mooring buoy because nobody could afford a pier. That's just the way you did. You waited out and things like that. So that in and of itself is an obstruction to the view shed. Number two, as far as the navigation is concerned, I concur with whoever made the comment about bringing 100, I think Mr. Bug did, 140-some foot boat. I mean, you get to the point where you can't take an aircraft carrier into the Pagan River either. It doesn't work. And I don't mean that flippantly, but there's just to a point where there's a break point where what's reasonable and what's not. We also deal with the public trust doctrine that was brought up by Mr. Lang. Well, the public trust doctrine cuts both ways. It cuts to the point of navigability and accessibility by those that live on the water. And also there's some discussion in there about view sheds and things like that. What I am most impressed by as far as my decision is the fact that Milford Haven has been a seafood entity for a long time. And I wonder, when the banker first came down to take a look at Milford Haven and saw the commercial enterprises that were ongoing at Milford Haven at the time, what he thought about the investment in putting a place there where there is a thriving seafood entity, which may be a cause for view shed or noise or things like that, whether that came up or not. I don't know. I just don't know. What I was most impressed was the illustration that Mr. Bug made when he asked the gentleman as far as cross-examination, from your place, do you see this place, this place, this place, this place, this place, and this place? And none of those things had ever been brought up as an obstruction or as a problem. It is a tough decision. I live on the waterfront as well, and it's a very tough decision. But pursuant to what is contained in Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia and the obligations contained therein, I intend to vote for the motion. There's a motion by Ms. Everett, second by Dr. Neal. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for a very hard-fought hearing.
Thank you.